The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. Whichever field of deen we look at, we see your success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, Madani Channel brings you another beautiful, informative, interesting and faith-refreshing program with the name of the Genius of the East. Yes, my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, by this we mean none other than the great Imam who's known to be the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, who's known to be the revivalist of Sunnah, the eradicator of Bid'ah, scholar of Sharia, al-Shah, al-Hajj, Al-Hafiz, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatul rahman. Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, we will be discussing about Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatul rahman, in this very program of ours. And Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, we will bring a new dimension to him in front of you. What is that dimension? Insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, we will reveal that after listening to the virtue of Durood-e-Pak. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there are many benefits and blessings of reciting Durood-e-Pak, sending peace and salutations upon the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Mashaykh-e-Tariqat, devotee of Ala Hazrat, Amir-e-Ahl-e-Sunnat, the founder of Dawat-e-Islami, Hazrat-e-Allama Mawlana, Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Razavi Ziyai Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, writes a beautiful virtue of reciting Durood-e-Pak, sending peace and salutations in his booklet, The Blessings of Salat and Salam. He quotes this hadith mubarakah that whoever recites Salat upon me one time, Allah Azza wa Jal sends 10 blessings upon him. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the topic of today, the topic of this program, the genius of the East. As mentioned earlier, we will be talking about a completely new dimension of the personality of Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatul rahman. Ala Hazrat as a scientist, the achievements he had in the field of science, a lot of people would be unaware of this. Bear in mind, my dear Swami brothers, that as we are talking about the achievements of Ala Hazrat in the field of science, Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was born in 1856. That's around 150 years ago. So keep this in mind that we are talking about around 150 years before. And now, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, when we listen to his remarkable achievements in the fields of science, we would realize what a great Imam he was, not only in the field of Islamic studies, but also in scientific field. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. On our panel, we have with us of a Muballigh Dawat-e-Islami who is also a doctor by profession, and he Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal has an insight to the research of Imam Ahl Sunnat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh in the field of science. So Jazakallahu Khaira Dr. Saab for joining us today and taking us through this journey of the great Imam and his achievements in the field of science. So we know Ala Hazrat as a great Muhaddis, a great Imam, someone who wrote over 1,000 Islamic books, someone who wrote the great Fatawa, Razaviyya Sharif, and a lot other Islamic services that he rendered for the Muslim Ummah. But over here, a completely new dimension has opened up for his personality, that he also excelled and achieved a great, remarkable rank in the field of science. So please take us through this very astounding and surprising dimension of Ala Hazrat, that what remarkable achievements he attained in the field of science.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Something which I believe is really important for people to know, certainly, you know, as we talk about things, we talk about 21st century as the pinnacle of human revolution, of human evolution, and we say that humanity has not achieved as much they have now. And that's why sometimes when we go back and look at our forefathers, our ancestors, those ancestors in terms of those who rendered their services to Deen, to Islam, it is absolutely amazing how much they achieved. And of course, one of those personalities is Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahlus Sunnah alayhi rahmah. And as I was preparing for this, I was surprised at so many different aspects of his services, not just, as you mentioned, about to Islamic studies, but even in terms of his scientific knowledge. And the encyclopedia he produced in the form of Fatawa Razaviya Sharif, which I'm sure we will discuss later. The beauty of that is that it is amongst those answers he has given to various questions which came from all around the world. Amongst those questions, he has really shed some jewels of science which was way more modern than we would have expected for somebody of his stature who was known mainly for his religious activities. So over the next few, over the next series and episodes, we will discuss, but Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is a physicist. So I was surprised that he, at that time, when there were no computers, there was no IT system, with very little in terms of infrastructure, he was able to give mathematic formulae to calculate the sunrise and the sunset times, to calculate what is the Shari'i definition of traveling, of journey. How do you convert all those units? So as viewers would know that from imperial system, we moved to SI, so the system international. And Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala was able to move all those books from written over nearly 1300 years and translate those units into modern science, the modern by his definition. Then Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala as an astrologist, as a chemist, the discussions he had about the diameter of Earth, the radius of Earth, the how you would how one would go about looking at elements, the periodic table, then the science of logarithms, algebra. He has written 8 books on logarithm, 4 on algebra. You look at astrology, 22 books he has written just on the subject of astrology. Mathematics, 31 books he's written just on mathematics, and that includes geometry, that includes arithmetic. You know, so whichever field of science you look at, he has actually books written on that particular subject.
It's amazing in terms of, as you were mentioning the names of the books that he has written and the number of those books, what resources did he have? As in, you're talking about nowadays we use mega computers for projections and for predictions, but back in those days, what resources did he have to produce all these books? And B, as we're talking about his Islamic achievements, which no one can deny, and the prominent ulama of that time called him to be the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah. And he has written over 1,000 books and Fatawa Razaviya Sharif, and he's also known to be the poet. For his poetry in the praise of Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And if we leave the scientific element out of his life, a person anyhow gets surprised at how a normal person, how can he have enough time to write these many books? But on top of that, you're telling us that Ala Hazrat also touched upon these branches of science as well, but not only touched upon them, but also wrote books for the students of these fields.
Absolutely. And that, you know, so sometimes I feel that, so as you said about the scholars and what their understanding was of in those days of science. So this is not someone who has gone to a university. He hasn't done a PhD. He hasn't done an MPhil. You know, he's not one of those of a standard, what I would call, you know, from professional fields who have excelled in their studies, who have been to big universities which are renowned all over the world. They have achieved, you know, PhD, double PhDs, all of that. This is someone who has been homeschooled by his own father, who has been to ulama-i kiram. And as we'll touch later, that was always in his intention. Because whatever he saw it through the glasses of deen. So when someone is that committed to a cause and the cause of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens doors for them. So I was reading that until a few years ago, overall around the world, in 4 continents, 9 countries, 28 universities have produced PhDs on Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah. So these are people who are actually doing a deep dive into Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala's services to science, to Islam, to humanities, to various subjects, and they are getting PhDs on his work and just trying to explain that work and bring it to the, I guess, to the knowledge of this century. And that includes very famous universities, so Columbia University of States, Banaras University of India, Jamiatul Azhar in Egypt, Punjab University in Pakistan. All around the world, they are producing PhDs. So this is just 28 PhDs, and that was several years ago. And if you look at MPhils and masters which have been done with the research thesis, the subject being the services of Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, that even goes beyond that. And that's the reason why, you know, you mentioned about his poetry, his famous Salatu Salam. When that goes to Jamiatul Azhar, they translate it into Arabic and say Al-Manzumatu Salamiya fi Madhi Khair al-Bariya. So they are so impressed that this is someone whose first language is not Arabic.
Allah,
and still, they were so impressed that his, you know, the words he selected. So that's what he's doing for Deen. And these are people who are producing PhD scholars and all of that. And they thought there is something in him.
That's amazing, the mashallah, brief light that you shed upon the achievements of Ala Hazrat and how other universities, they are basically teaching students to attain a PhD on a personality that in its own shows us the excellence of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. So we won't be wrong in saying that although the title of our program is the Genius of the East, however, him being genius is not only restricted to East, but in a way, all around the world, they have acknowledged the fact that undoubtedly he was the genius. Absolutely. Of the time. Hence was the reason that there are PhDs being done just on the personality of Ala Hazrat. And Dr. Saab, this is also an element of those academic people, that they not only acknowledge someone great like Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, but they also go deep down into his personality and they spread his knowledge to others, as you've mentioned some institutes that they are doing right now. On the same note, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, if we look at the services of Dawat-e-Islami, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawat-e-Islami propagates the message of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayh. And Al-Madinatul Ilmiya, which is one of the departments of Dawat-e-Islami, especially there are some ulama-e-karam, some scholars who are specially allocated just for this task, where they are reproducing the works of Ala Hazrat in a modern day style for us, for modern day people to understand the message of Ala Hazrat. And this is another greatness of Dawat-e-Islami, that they, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, all around the globe, they have Jamiat al-Madinah, they have those universities where scholars are being produced. There are over 500 Jamiat, and Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, thousands of scholars have been produced who follow the doctrine and principles of this great genius of the East, Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman. And a great remarkable achievement of Dawat-e-Islami over here is that they've not only acknowledged Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi services, but they've also spread his message amongst the Muslim Ummah. And the amount of efforts that Dawat-e-Islami has put in to spread the name of Ala Hazrat is remarkable. Especially a separate department has been created which works only on the books of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. So that's the normally, as a perception that people have regarding Sayyidi Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, is through his Islamic services, which indeed is a great service and great excellence of his anyways. But as our dimension is completely different in this program, take us a bit more into the works of Ala Hazrat, a bit more into the achievements that he attained into the field of science.
So As you said, mashallah, that you know, the title of Genius of the East. So one of the people we will mention perhaps later on in our program, that there was a very famous professor, a PhD holder, and actually knighted by the empire. And that person, when he comes, and he was a famous mathematician, having been trained in Germany and the UK, and he goes to Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, and we'll touch upon that incident in more detail when we talk about Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala's services to mass. Sure. But one of the things he said just, I think, underlines exactly what you said. He said that he looked at Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala's works in maths and says that if people had recognized what Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is hiding in his own home, he would not have achieved anything less than a Nobel Prize.
Allahu Akbar. And so this is a PhD holder person.
Exactly. And he was the famous mathematician, the famous professor of mathematics at that time in the subcontinent. And for him to say such great words, and this is someone who went to Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, not knowing or thinking about that what he would be able to actually, even he would be able to answer or help him. So, and I guess as we were deciding the title of the program, I quite liked that, as you said about Dawat Islam in bringing it into 21st century, into modern era, is that lots of Orientalists, so these Mustashriqeen, who the Western scholars who work on Eastern either studies or personalities, so a lot of them have said that he, Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, is the neglected genius of the East.
Allah.
But Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, thanks to Dawat Islami, that he is no more neglected.
Allah.
Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is now recognized all around the world. And of course, Dawat Islami services, they're all part of that. So I guess coming to your question, I guess one of the key things I usually, I guess when I'm teaching medical students or I get people who come and do internships or whatever, so sometimes you ask a very basic question. So if I were to ask my viewers a basic question about what is science, and it's incredible how many people would find it difficult to answer that question. You know, how do you define science? You know, what are the boundaries of science? What is in and what is out? All of that. And Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, the beauty of his work is that he blends the boundaries of science with Islam so beautifully that at one point you think this is an Islamic scholar speaking, but the next moment think, no, this is a scientist speaking, because he has this incredible quality of blending these two things together. And that goes straight, I would say, in the face of those who would say, oh, the religion and science are not compatible. They are mutually exclusive. So for those people, I guess it is Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala's work is a challenge. He shows that they actually are compatible. They can work together. And if you look at from that aspect, Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala is way ahead of even the scientists of his time, because it was not so long ago, what we hear called Dark Ages of Europe, where religion and science were considered incompatible. And there are, I'm sure the students of history of science would know, if you look at all of our big universities, there are we know from the history that there was a time when there was a strict divide between science and religion. They were against each other. But when there was a very famous professor who was then a principal in Islamic College Lahore at that time, Professor Hakim Ali Khan. He writes to Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala about science. He was a great believer in Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. So he once wrote to him a letter and said about this conflict of, can religion work with science? Can these two things work together? And the answer which Sayyidi Al-Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala gave, that I guess just crystallizes the clarity of mind, the clarity of his thought. He said, so he first praised him for asking that question, and that shows his humility. And then he goes on to say that as long as science embraces Islam, there is no problem. But the moment you would try to force Islam to embrace science, then you will run into trouble. So remember to see everything in the context of deen. So if it is supported by Islamic evidence, brilliant. As long as there's not something against that. Because we know, alhamdulillah, that's our belief, that what Islam is teaches us, those are facts.
Alhamdulillah.
And what science does, and that's where we go back to the basic definition of science. Science is a knowledge of experiments. And those experiments sometimes would give you a right answer and sometimes would give you a wrong answer. So in medical science, for example, in my field, I could enumerate several examples where a drug which we thought was very successful for a condition 20 years ago, and now we think, no, that's potentially disastrous for that patient because the science changed, the evidence changed. Science moves with that. But the beauty of the words of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed through the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is that they are until the Day of Judgment. So what an Islamic scholar needs to do is to bring these together, blend them in, but remember that there are facts, and as long as those facts are not tried to be distorted, then science certainly works with that. And that's the beauty of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah.
Beautifully explained, Dr. Sahib, the point of Allah Hazrat, that a lot of us nowadays, we question many theories, whether they're Islamic or non-Islamic, but we will stick to the Islamic theories, where we start questioning them from the basis of science. Whereas a beautiful point you've mentioned, which Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala wrote in the letter, that we do not need to have a scientific evidence to prove an Islamic fact or Islamic teaching. On the contrary, a scientific fact need to be proven through an Islamic theory or backing. So it's a beauty. Only if we can develop this mindset, I think a lot of our problems will be resolved, where we have developed this mindset that, okay, you tell me that, you know, for example, you tell someone to offer your daily salah, he'll be like, okay, what's the scientific benefit in this? Unfortunately, nowadays, we are more inclined towards scientific benefits and justifications for offering salah, then offering it just with the intention that this would please Allah Almighty. If I tell someone that, you know, when you bow down in sajda, when I prostrate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will have such and such medical benefits. And this in a way would sort of, you know, incline him more towards offering salah. Then, you know, telling them that, you know, you're in the state of sajda, when you're in the state of when you prostrate to Allah Almighty, you're closest to him. You know, this doesn't sort of click him that much, as much it would click him through a scientific benefit. But no doubt, the beautiful point that you've mentioned, it seems as we need to embed and instill this theory in the youth of today, what Ala Hazrat wrote in this letter, that scientific reasons, there's nothing wrong in finding them, but as long as they are backed by the Islamic studies. And this, alhamdulillah, Zawajal, again I would say, the Dawat Islam is playing a beautiful part again over here, through bringing up the schooling system in the shape of Darul Madina, where alhamdulillah Azzawajal, along with Islamic studies, Dawat Islami also teaches worldly education. And obviously Dawat Islami is Fezani Ala Hazrat, is the blessings of Ala Hazrat. And in obviously those children who are studying in Darul Madina, they are being brought up in the light of the teachings of Ala Hazrat. And inshaAllah Azzawajal, when they graduate, or when obviously they finish their higher studies, in the light of these studies, where they will develop this mindset that they need to have a backing from an Islamic point of view for everything, whether it is science or non-science, then inshaAllah they will raise as a prominent figure in the society. So just towards the end, Dr. Saab, before you open more doors of surprises for us and the viewers of Madani Channel regarding the personality of Ala Hazrat, if you would like to shed some more light that what's coming next in our next episodes, what aspects, what dimensions of Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala's personality will we be covering, so we can eagerly wait for our next episode and see what surprise is waiting for us.
Subhanallah. Yeah, I guess that's what we call vetting the appetite.
Absolutely.
I think so. As I said, that I've been highly impressed as reading through, and I think we can't really do justice to Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Taala. We could speak for hours, and still, one aspect of his life cannot be covered. So. But I think what I wanted to, in the next few episodes, what I've, inshallah, Azzawajal will do, is to try and break it down into chunk-sized information under the different subjects of science.
Okay.
Because I think that is, I think we can go anywhere near offering, really, and commemorating his work of Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. And so, inshallah, Zawajal, in the next episode, we'll talk about taxonomy.
Taxonomy. This might be an absolutely something, a new name for many viewers of Madani Channel who probably wouldn't have even heard about this. So, you're saying that Ala Hazrat had expertise in the field of taxonomy as well.
Absolutely. So, and again, I was equally surprised when I thought, SubhanAllah, this is what I spent nearly 16 years of my life reading in the context of medical science. And here is a scholar who has given these remarkable examples of taxonomy throughout his books. You know, whichever book you look at, you see those examples. So, inshallah, our journey will then continue. And then we'll try and, if possible, to dedicate two episodes, inshallah, to Ala Rahmatullahi Ta'ala as physicist. So, I give some examples. So, physics is such a huge area. And I would say that in every walk of life, of course, there is a physics, there are some rules of physics, even through our microphones, through the cameras, everything. This is all through physics. But how a scholar explains that in the context of a question where the actual reason behind that was to learn the knowledge of Sharia. And under the auspice of that, Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala discusses physics. And you think, that question could be answered in one line. But Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, that was the breadth of his knowledge and wisdom. That in order to, for the person who asked that question to then fully understand it, he says, let me tell you the principles of physics which support what I'm going to tell you.
So, Ala Hazrat, as a physician, we'll be talking about.
Inshallah,
after that, I think there are further branches as well of science that we will be discussing for Ala Hazrat, and inshallah we will leave further surprises for the viewers of Madani Channel. Until then, so my dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, today we had a brief introduction regarding the personality of Ala Hazrat from the perspective of science. Whatever aspect we talk about, whether it is Islamic studies, whether it is mysticism, whether it is science, every field, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we find the name of our master, Imam Ahl Sunnat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, alayhi rahmatu rahman, to be at the top. That's why a poet, he said, after looking at the poetry, yes, my dear Islamic brothers, Ala Hazrat, rahmatullahi ta'ala, also had the expertise in the field of poetry, where he used to praise Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala, alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So a poet, he mentioned in the shan, in the excellence of Ala Hazrat, that mulke sukhan ki shahi, tumko raza musallam, jis samt a gaye ho, sikke bitha diye hain. So whichever walk of life you step towards, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, your name was right at the top. So my dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, this genius of feast, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, we will be covering more dimensions to his personality in our following episodes. Please remember to tune back into our program and learn more about this great genius of East. Till then, take very good care of yourself and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The intellectual mountains and valleys have been conquered by you. The intellectual mountains and valleys